Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Mark Zyla, Director of Education and Community Engagement for the Quad City Symphony Orchestra, and with Ethan Good, a Pleasant Valley High School trumpet player who is the 2018 Youth Ensemble Concerto Competition Grand Prize winner. Ethan will be playing a solo at the upcoming side-by-side concert on Sunday, April 29th, with the Quad City Symphony Orchestra. So welcome, Mark and Ethan.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming. The concert is very aptly named side-by-side because the Quad City Symphony Orchestra literally plays side-by-side with the youth ensembles. Mark, describe if you can what that concert experience is like and why the listeners today should go out and purchase a ticket.
So the side-by-side concert, it's a performance where all five of our youth ensembles and the Quad City Symphony Orchestra, the professional orchestra, we combine forces and play music together, which is, it's an awesome thing to be able to, as a professional musician, sit down next to a young musician and kind of get that experience of playing in a professional orchestra. So for me, it's always really fun because, you know, I can kind of pass on the little things that we do in the orchestra, like, you know, foot taps and all that kind of stuff to, like, kind of congratulate each other throughout the concert. And we actually have two full rehearsals. The Quad City Symphony and the Youth Symphony Orchestra rehearse twice next week. So we have, you know, several hours where we get to kind of converse with the young musicians and kind of give them some of the tricks of the trade. But then for the younger ensembles, the Youth Philharmonic, Youth String Ensemble, Prelude Strings, and Youth Choir, they combine forces with one another. So the Prelude Strings will actually have some QCSO musicians play with them, but then they'll play with the Youth String Ensemble. And then the Youth String Ensemble combines forces with the Youth Philharmonic. Then the Youth Philharmonic combines forces with the Youth Symphony. And then the Youth Symphony combines forces with the QCSO. So there's this kind of integration of you know, looking forward to the next ensemble that you're going to be in as a student. And there's this mentorship aspect where, you know, the older students are mentoring the younger students, and then the professional players are mentoring as well. So it's a really wonderful representation of the strength of having a great professional orchestra in your community that devotes so much time and resources to youth education.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like such a great experience. And Ethan, I see you nodding over there. You've played with them before? You've performed at this side-by-side?
Yes. Last year, YSO got the privilege of performing Pictures at an Exhibition side-by-side with the Quad City Symphony, and it was a really cool experience, I guess. Meeting all the professional musicians and playing in such a huge brass section was one of the most fun parts for me. It was like 10 trumpet players all sitting in a row, and it was just really cool.
Well, I wonder how many communities have this as an opportunity for our young students, you know, to actually play with a professional symphony. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's something that is kind of catching on in the orchestra world. And you know, I would love to say that the QCSO was the first one to think it up, but we definitely were not. But it does not, you know, diminish the power of what that is. And it's something that, you know, communities that do value their symphony orchestra value these kinds of opportunities. And something that an organization like the Quad City Symphony can attract musicians that love both playing and teaching is kind of a great thing.
And you're doing such a good job of recruiting students from our area. There are close to 300 correct students that are playing in your various ensembles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge.
Yeah, it's quite an operation. And now plug for next year. We are May 12th starts auditions for the 18-19 QCSYE season. So if you're a string player, wind, brass, or a singer in grades 2 through 8, you should look at our website, qcso.org, to find audition information, and then you can join in the fun, too.
Great. And we'll put information on our website that is a direct link to the audition forms that you need to complete if you're wanting to participate for next year. And the ages that are involved for now, you have a choir too, right? So the choir involves some younger ages, ages as young as second grade.
Yeah, the choir is geared for students in grades 2 through 8. And then our youngest string ensemble is the Prelude String Ensemble, which is geared towards students who have some experience on their instrument that are able to, exist in an ensemble setting. And then there's a fully integrated ensemble stepping up from there up to the YSO level, where it's primarily juniors and seniors in high school. But these are the best playing young musicians in the area.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ethan, the concerto competition was held in early January, and because you won the grand prize at that competition, we get to hear you play a solo this weekend. Prior to January, had you ever auditioned in such a high-pressure situation before, and how were you feeling on that day?
I would say one of the only things that I've auditioned for that kind of had a similar, I guess, stress level was probably my college audition. But I had not had it yet at that point, so that was the scariest thing I had done so far.
We should back up and say, again, you're a senior at PV.
Yes.
At Pleasant Valley, and you'll be going where next year?
I'll be going to the University of Iowa, and I'll be double majoring in biomedical engineering and trumpet performance.
Wow. Well, they are undoubtedly very lucky to get you. And we had talked briefly about how there is, I think, somewhat of a link between people who are good at music, who have that innate talent, and people who excel at math and the sciences.
Yeah, I would say a lot of the same kids that are really good at music at my school also excel in academics and stuff. And I've read some studies online, I guess, that the younger you start music, the better your, I guess, analytical brain function is later in life. So
yeah. To reach this high caliber, you've obviously been playing music a long time. So, and you started with the piano.
Yes.
At what age?
I was 4 years old when my parents took me into the old Foster's Family Music in Bettendorf, and I started taking piano lessons, and I picked up the trumpet in sixth grade, and here I am now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've come a long way, and you still play the piano quite a bit. In fact, you do some performances at the River Music Experience.
Yes. Ellis Kell and Brett Dale and all the wonderful people over there have these camps. It's actually not really classical music. It's more blues and like jazz and rock oriented. And I don't know, that's been a great experience for me, playing stuff different than what I'm used to, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's quite a testament to you, and that you were able to play such a wide breadth of music. And with jazz, there's a lot of improvisation. How did you learn that?
Well, I guess the best way to learn it is to just do it and listen to yourself and listen to other people do it and maybe pick up on some ideas. And it's scary at first, but once you kind of learn the ropes, I guess it's a lot of fun. So,
mm-hmm. Who's your teacher now for trumpet?
I take with Dr. Edgar Crockett. He's a jazz professor at Black Hawk Community College.
At Black Hawk. Oh, mm-hmm. That's great. And you're involved in music at Pleasant Valley as well.
Yes. I play in the band, and I play in the full orchestra that they have there. I play trumpet mainly at school. So.
Wow. You have a classmate at Pleasant Valley who was a second place winner at the concerto competition in January and won the YSO prize. That was Keshav Wagle, who plays the oboe.
Yeah, the concerto competition is open to youth symphony orchestra members, and there's a panel of judges from QCSO musicians to, you know, college professors in the area, and they actually just come on stage and they perform their piece, and the judges kind of evaluate different musical things, and then at the end there's a score that comes back. And it's a very interesting kind of calculation where the lowest and the highest scores are taken out. So it kind of forces there to be a consensus across the board in who our winners are. And Keshav won the YSO prize, which performed in February with the Youth Symphony accompanying. And then Ethan is our grand prize winner and gets to play with the QCSO. But as a person who was on the panel, it was like razor thin. And the two of these guys have been kind of inspirational students to be around, in the sense that they make music at an incredibly high level for their age, and for me it makes all the work that I do as an administrator at the QCSO worth it, because it's nice to hear you guys play really
you.
Well.
Aww. And Mark, that's a perfect segue to talk about what that role is of yours with the young musicians who play with the various youth ensembles, because you are the director of education for the symphony.
The Quad City Symphony has always had a really deep connection with music education. And my role within the organization is to continue to hold that standard as high as our expectations are, and to find new and interesting ways to engage the community and talk about what it is that we do. And so my role as principal horn in the orchestra actually probably relates more to the youth ensembles than my director of education role, because that's where I get to go into rehearsals and do brass sectionals, and I get to, teach private lessons to students and things like that, which is like kind of how I got to know Ethan. And now it's kind of fun because we don't necessarily talk to each other like I'm in charge of something or whatever.
No.
But like, they're all great people, and it's fun to walk into a room and talk music, and again, it's fun to hear people play great, and mm-hmm. these kids play great.
Well, that's awesome. And Ethan, you'll be performing the Artunian Trumpet Concerto during the performance, and I imagine it is just really helpful to have these mentors along the way, because that's a difficult piece.
Yes.
tell us how you chose that and a little bit about the piece.
Well, junior year, there are these like solo ensemble competition things that like you basically do for school. And I was basically looking for a piece that would help better myself as a musician mainly. And I discovered this piece, and I performed just small sections of it for various school activity things that you have to do. But I really came to, I fell in love with the piece, and I guess what appeals to me is its big trumpetiness, I guess is how I would say. It's high and loud at certain parts, but then...
Is that an adjective, trumpetiness?
Yes, that's not a word.
Trademark. It's a piece that is really designed to show everything that the trumpet can do within mm-hmm. this classical setting, but... It was written in 1950, so it even has like more of a modern flavor to it than what you might expect. But it's also a piece that for competitions, because it's something that's on mm-hmm. The ITG competitions and all that kind of stuff, is that right out of the gate, it's like boom.
Yes.
And so there's like fanfares all over the place, and then a beautiful lyrical movement, and then mm-hmm. you get back to more of the trumpety.
The weird part about it is there's a section in the middle where it's muted, and you don't really see that much like in a solo trumpet setting where you would have a mute in. And I don't know. I think that's just kind of another interesting part about it. So.
Yeah. Well, it sounds great. It's been described as gypsy-ish.
Yes.
And I hope to be able to hear it. And then the guest conductor that day is Carl Topolo. Tell us a little bit about that guest conductor, Mark.
Carl Topolo is the director of orchestra studies at the Cleveland Institute of Music, and he's also the conductor of the National Repertory Orchestra. And both of those positions are rooted in education. The National Repertory Orchestra is a summer festival where the top collegiate students who are looking at careers in professional symphony orchestras audition, and they kind of pick an all-star band for the summer. And so he's, in his time there, which has probably spanned over 30 years, I'm sure he's heard every single person who's sitting in a symphony orchestra today play an audition for him, whether it was successful or unsuccessful. But also, Cleveland Institute of Music historically has been one of those schools that produces the top players in the country. And we had an opportunity when Mark Russell Smith's schedule didn't work out to be here next weekend. We saw that as an opportunity to, you know, where we love Mark and would love to have him conducting this concert. We wanted to try to find somebody just as good as him. And so we found Carl, who's a friend of Mark's, and everybody in the orchestra biz kind of knows him. And so he's going to come in and conduct a family concert on Saturday with space music. And then on Sunday, we'll conduct the QCSO with the YSO at the side-by-side concert. And I think that, you know, it's going to have a lot of, he's going to have a lot of information to give our students. Mm-hmm. And I think he's going to be impressed when he steps into the first rehearsal.
Well, undoubtedly, Ethan, he'll be very impressed to hear you play.
Hopefully.
So, I mean, and how you're describing the guest conductor, it really fits with the goal, it sounds like, of the symphony to improve on their outreach and to really focus on education. And they've been doing just a spectacular job with that. Mark, you've described that as just being part of the overall fabric, really, of what the symphony does.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also part of the fabric of what it means to be a musician. And since the QCSO has been run and it has had so many great musicians come through in its 104 years, I commend the organization for as long as it has been doing this, is it just empowering that side of what it is to be a musician, and that is to connect and pass down what it is that you've learned to the next generation. And it's something that you see in all forms of music, in terms of the master-student kind of relationship. And we wouldn't be the ensemble that we are on stage if it weren't for those opportunities to teach, because when you teach, you learn about yourself as well. And so with all of that, we all see this kind of working hand in hand. The artistic product on stage wouldn't be what it is without these opportunities. And these education opportunities wouldn't be here if it weren't for the excellent symphony orchestra that we've built in this community. So again, it's a pleasure of mine as a member of the orchestra to have the opportunity to be involved in the community at this level. And as it's also a privilege of mine as an administrator to keep pushing that and making it more accessible to more people, and also more accessible to more musicians in the orchestra, so that we can get more music in our community. And my goal is to affect the cultural lives of every single person in the Quad Cities, and it's going to take every single member of the orchestra, every single member of this community, every single student. And I see Ethan out doing stuff, and it's like, oh, I didn't even know he was doing that.
Well, you certainly are doing a great job, because this concert that's the night before the side-by-side where Ethan will play is a community participation event. It shares the name Side by Side with the other performance, but yet it's very different. So fill us in on that.
So the community-wide Side by Side that happens in the River Center Great Hall is an event that we started 2 years ago by way of a lot of people talking to us about how, like, we do such a great job with education of youth, but at a certain point it seems to stop, and we don't have much for people who are, you know, out of college, but, you know, just want to pick up their instrument. And the thing that's amazing about the Quad Cities is that there are so many musical ensembles out there. So, you know, there's the all the park bands, there's a brass band in town, there's just so many places to play. And yet people were saying, like, it would be great if there was a, you know, a non-auditioned community orchestra of some kind for people who can just come one, come all, whatever it sounds like, doesn't matter, we're just here to play some great music. And so we started the community-wide side-by-side, and the first 2 years we did 1812 Overture, which is kind of a QCSO signature piece that ends our Riverfront Pops concert every August. But we're switching it up this year, and we're going to do two movements from The Planets. And everybody loves The Planets. If you were in high school marching band, you've played parts of The Planets. And so it's one of those times where I hope people see that as an opportunity to like dust their instrument off and kind of forget about what it means to play well or play poorly. Who cares? We just want to get together and have a good time. And every time I do it, again, it's another one of those events that I'm like, it's a ton of work. There are a lot of people in the room. It's kind of a big sound. But at the end of it, just people are so happy to be together. And that's what it's all about.
I wish I played an instrument well enough to to show up there, but I'm not
just
sure.
Just hold an instrument. Come hold a horn next to me.
Well,
the only
requirement for those people wanting to play is that you are able to read music. That's essentially it.
If you can't read music and you're fine with sitting there in the middle of an orchestra, that's fine too. But we figure if to participate, you would at least have to read some of the music. But anyway, we want to meet you. We want to talk to you and want to have a nice time.
Yeah,
so
that sounds great. And the performance lasts an hour, and there's a 30-minute practice.
Well, it kind of works. It's an all-encompassing hour-long program, and we don't really call it a performance because, again, it's the goal of it's not to make it in terms of some kind of quality that people would quote unquote want to come and listen to it. But so we work for about 30 minutes where we rehearse. And then the second half of the hour, we play the pieces as if it were a performance. And of course, the doors are always open to anybody who wants to come in and see what that might be like.
Yeah. And I should mention, it is free to spectators. And that's occurring at 7 p.m. on Saturday, April 28th. Yes. So, well, Mark, Zyla, and Ethan Good, thanks you so much for coming today. And Ethan, a huge congratulations on winning the grand prize at the Youth Ensemble Concerto Competition this year.
Thank you.
Yeah. I hope that many of our community members get the chance to hear you perform your solo at the upcoming Quad City Symphony Orchestra's Side-by-Side Concert. And that's this Sunday, April 29th at 3 p.m. at the Adler Theater in Davenport.
Yes.
Tickets can be purchased online at the symphony's website, or by phone, or at the box office.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you.
You are welcome. This has been Carolyn Martin, Talking Art in the Quad Cities for WVIK.